Okay, Rav Moshe, today's daf is Yuma, daf Mem Gimel. We're at the top here of Mem Gimel Amud Aleph. First line of Shachat Oso, we're in the middle of darshaning out pretty much the entire drasha, the entire darshaning out the entire first kind of aliyah plus of Parshas Chukas, which talks about the Paraduma. Basically going through the psukim, talking about different halachos. That'll take us to the middle of Amud Beis, and then we have a long Mishnah. That again continues the Yom Kippur process. That'll take us to the end of the daf. So the Gemara says like this: "V'shechad usa, you have to shecht it, i.e. the paraduma. Shul yishchod acher ima, that you shouldn't shecht any other cow at the same time, right? You shouldn't shecht two paradumas together at once, right? If theoretically you had a very long knife, I guess technically you could have done it, but the pasuk says, no, only shecht one at a time. Lefanav, you have to do it before him, right? That's already the machlokas we saw yesterday. L'rav shlo yaseach daitumi mena, according to Rav, that you can't have hesach hadas from the paraduma while you're shechting. L'shmul shehezar shochet. Shmuel says that the word lefanav teaches me, right, that you shecht it in front of Elazar, i.e. that someone else can do the shechting, someone who's not a kohen. Ve'elazar roe, and then Elazar, right, watches, right, the other person do it, right? That was Shmuel's shita that we saw yesterday. We talked about it at length. For lakach Elazar kohemi dama be'etzba'o. What does that mean? So the Shmuel lahadure le'elazar. According to Shmuel, right, you give the now the avoda goes back to Elazar. Elazar goes back and takes the blood with his finger. L'Rav havimir achamir. According to Rav, it's a double negative. It's an exclusion after an exclusion, right? Because the last lefanav we said that you shouldn't be mesich das, and here we're saying it's Elazar specifically, right? Again, we talked about before that Rav said that Elazar or Shechad Osa Lefanav, right, refers to Elazar himself doing the Shechita. And then we said right here, V'lakach Elazar HaKohen, right, only Elazar can take the blood from his finger. So according to Rav, right, it's a Mirach HaMir, which is basically a double negative in Mirach HaMir El Rabos. And so an exclusion after an exclusion really is only an inclusion, and therefore Dafilu Kohen Hediot, right, Rav learns that you can even have a Kohen Hediot, a regular Kohen, do this part of taking the blood and doing the Zrika and sprinkling the blood. Okay, the next pasuk says, V'lakach HaKohen Eitz Erez Ve'ezo V'shnis Olas. Right, you have to take those items. I think it's a cedar and a hyssop, I think they translated as, and a red piece of cloth, a red piece of string. So the Shmuel, the filu kohen hediot, again, when it says v'lakacha kohen, the kohen takes it. So according to Shmuel, that teaches me that even a regular kohen can do this. L'Rav, itzricha, but according to Rav, who had said that we just learned previously, right, we just said that according to Rav, it's a mi'ad achar mi'ad, and that teaches me that a regular kohen can do it. So you still need to teach me that the kohen, a regular kohen, can take these items. Why? Because al da chamina, you might have thought to say, kim delav guva de paranin hu lowly boy coin. Since this is not actually part of the paraduma itself, right? It's just some other things that you burn with it. So you might have thought you don't even need a coin to do it. So therefore, kamash balance, the Torah teaches us that no, a coin is still required for these items. V'chibes begadav kohen, the coin should wash his clothing, i.e., b'kihuno, in his Kohenness. And what that means is, Rashi says, that he has to be wearing his big day kahuna when he's doing the paraduma. Okay. V'timei kohen ad ha'erev. The kohen then will be tamei until nightfall. Kohen b'kihuno l'doros. That teaches me that the kohen, right, again, that it will always be true that a kohen has to be wearing his big day kahuna, right, not only for the paraduma that we're talking about in the Chumash, right, in Parshas Chukas, but for all subsequent paradumas as well. So Hanichaman the Amar the Dorot Bekoin Hediot Chapir. Right. So that, but that only works. I mean, that drasha makes sense according to the one who says that in the future, meaning that the paraduma can be done by regular coin. Right. Elaman the Amar the Dorot Bekoin Gadol. But again, if you remember, we had the Machlokas. If in the future we still require the coin Gadol to do the paraduma, so then hashta coin Bekoin Gadol be in. Sorry, the hashta coin Gadol be in on Bikihu no me. Hashtag coin gadol be inan. If you're telling me that you need the coin gadol, so bikihu no mi baya. Obviously, you don't need to tell me that the coin gadol has to do the avoda in the coin gadol clothing. Right? The coin gadol doesn't show up in his jeans and his t-shirt. Right? If you tell me the coin gadol has to do it, right? So mistama, right? He has to wear his big dekuna. Right? That doesn't make sense. The Gemara says in Echanami, he says, yeah, it's logical that is true, but milsedasi bekavuchomer tarach v'kasev lakra. Right? Sometimes the Torah will write something to teach me a halacha that you could have learned from logically. Right? It's logical that the Kohen Gadol should have to wear his clothing, but still, sometimes the Torah will go ahead and write it, even though you could have derived that halacha logically. Okay. A person who is tahor takes the ashes, right, and he puts it outside of the machane, right? Ish the hachshir zazar, right? That ish, the person, right? Vesaf ish, the regular person that tells me a non kohen can do this. Tahor, someone who's tahor, the hachshir zaisha tells me that even a woman can do this. Viniach, mishe ish lo bo das laniach, right? Yatsu cherishot vikotan shein ben das laniach. And the word viniach means that he puts it. He has to be able to know what he's doing. So it has someone who has das, someone who has halachic das. As opposed to, right, which excludes someone who's a cherish, who's a deaf mute, someone who's a shota, someone's out of his mind, and a katan, who do not have halachic wherewithal to perform this action. Okay, now the Gemara now says, but it's not Hassan, we learned in the Mishnah. Again, this Mishnah, right, Mistama, right, makes sense. Any Mishnah that we're talking about here is going to be in Parah, which talks about the Parah Duma. Well, once we're mentioning Chayashot HaVekotan, we just point out that anybody can do the Kiddush. Now, this obviously, right, if you've learned, let's say, Kiddushin or Ksubas, or if you're holding a Nashim, so that the Kaddish obviously, you know, could mean to marry a woman. Obviously, that's not what it means here. The Kaddish, as we said before, refers to mixing the water of the Paraduma with the ashes of the Paraduma. That's Kiddush. That's the kind of the sanctifying the items that you're going to sprinkle on people. So everybody is able to do that except for Cher Shota V'Katan. Rav Yehuda Machshir V'Katan, right? Rav Yehuda says actually a Katan can do that. Right? A posel be isha v'androgynous, but he passes a woman and an androgynous who has both. I always forget if it's androgynous has both or neither. The Gemara always brings tumtum and androgynous together, and for the life of me, I can never remember which is which. So if anybody has a good way to remember which is which, I'm pretty sure an androgynous has both male and female symbols, genitals, but I forget. And it's also 1 a.m, so my brain is not necessarily working so well. But okay, Baruch Hashem, I'll look it up afterwards. Tumtum and androgynous, one of them has neither male nor female simonim, and one of them has both. Okay. Either way, Rabbi Huda says that the katan we're going to talk about, the katan is the one who can be machshir, can do this, the kiddush, the mixing of the water and the ashes, and the Tanakama that says that he does not, that he cannot. So we're going to talk about that in a second. So that's my time with the Rabbanan. Right now, really. What is the logic that the Rabbanan let's say that a katan is not allowed to? So the Chitir of the Pasuk says, "V'chula tamei me'afar shirifat ha'chatas." Right, the tamei person will take from some of the ashes. Hanach the pasli lach basiva pasli lach bekiddush. Right, we're gonna compare the ones that are no good, that are not able to do the asifa, to the gathering of the ashes, is also not able to do the mixing of the water and the ashes. And those who are able to take some of the ashes also are allowed to do the mixing. So they connect those two very clearly. For Rabbi Yehuda, so what does Rabbi Yehuda hold? Why does he hold that those are different? Right, in Cain, Lemakrav, Alakach. So if you tell me that was really true, that they were equal, and everybody could do A, could do B, Torah should say Lakach. My Vilakhu, what is they shall take? They shall take the tamei me'asar, but they should take some of the afar, some of the ashes. Tafilu katan depasli lehasam ha'achar kasher. That it's including a katan, that even though the katan is not allowed to gather some of the ashes, he is allowed to mix the ashes and the water. So isha minale, how do you know that a woman is not kasher? Right, opposed right there, Rabbi Huda. Everybody apostles a woman from doing this. So the pasuk says, "V'nasin v'lo nasna." Right, since the pasuk says it in the language of in male, right, nasan is male and nasna is female. So therefore, only men are allowed to do the mixing. Okay, for rabbanim, what would the rabbanim say back? Meaning that not to the woman's part, but to the lechu v'lokach. What would they do with that? Again, what would they do with the drasha that Rabbi Huda used of v'lokach and v'lokhu to teach me that a kid a child is allowed to mix the water and the ashes. Because of Rachmana v'lokach v'nosan, if it would have said v'lokach v'nosan, so havamina ad shakel chad v'yivchad. Right? If it would have said v'lokach v'nosan instead of v'lokhu, right? So you would have thought that one person has to take the ashes and mix it in the water. Meaning, there's two actions here. There's scooping the ashes and then there's mixing it with water. So you might have thought that the same guy has to do both. So therefore, because of Rachmana v'lokhu, right? Torah therefore wrote they do it, meaning that even if two separate people do those two separate actions, so then it's fine. Because of Rachmanav v'lachu v'nasnu, and if the Torah had said in plural by both of them, right, havamina adeshakli trevli avitrei, you might have thought you need to do both those actions with two people. Right, so therefore, because of Rachmanav v'lachu v'nasan, right, so therefore it says v'lachu, and they can take the ashes, but v'nasan, and he should mix the ashes, tafilu shakli trei v'yayivchad, right, even if two people take the ashes and one of them puts the water together, right, then everything is fine. Okay, fine. Now, still within that machlokas, right, what do you do with the following pasuk, right? V'lokach ezov v'tavah b'mayim ish tahor. You take the ezov is the hyssop, right, whatever, and I don't even know what that looks like, but okay, it's like a small little plant, I think. V'tavah b'mayim ish tahor, and someone who's tahor will dip it in water, and then you can sprinkle. So the Rabbanan ish v'lo isha tahor l'hachshir zakotan. So the Rabbanan, again, learned that that when a woman is allowed to mix the water and the ashes, so therefore they heard that according to the Chachamim here, the word ish excludes a woman from this avoda for the dipping of the hyssop in the water, and tahor allows a katan to do this avoda, the dipping of the hyssop in the water. Right, with Rabbi Yehuda, what did Rabbi Yehuda learn? Again, Rabbi Yehuda said that a katan was allowed to do the mixing of the water and the ashes. So he learns ish v'lo katan, that to exclude a katan, right, because a katan was allowed, right, to do the previous avoda that we talked about. So the pasuk says ish, and a katan is not allowed to do this, is not allowed to dip the hyssop in the water. And tahor l'hachshir is aisha, and the pasuk of tahor allows a woman to do this part, as opposed to the Chachamim, right, which basically learned the opposite. Okay, so Mesebe, hold on 1 second, I'll ask you a question. Again, this is a kasha on Rabbi Huda. Again, Rabbi Huda who said that a woman is fine and a katan is not allowed to take this the ezov and dip it in the water. So Mesebe, I'll ask you a question. How kol ksher im la'azov schutz mitumtum drogenes v'isha? Everybody is able to sprinkle the mechatas, right, the paraduma water on someone who's tamei, except for a tumtum and androgynous. Here we again have it both bent together. So I apologize. I think the tumtum is you don't know which one, it doesn't have either, and the androgynous is both. But okay, you have tumtum and androgynous and a woman, right? All three of those are not allowed to sprinkle the waters on someone who's tamei. V'katan v'sheyesh bo das isra misayato umaze. But a katan who does have das, so a woman is able to help him. Right, again, that even though the woman herself is not allowed to, she can help him to take care of it. The Mishnah over there talks about like exactly what the deal is with that. But the Maisa, the Tachlis is that the Mishnah apostles a woman, right, and allows a katan. Right, that's against Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said the opposite. That's the Chachamim Shita. Right, so v'lo polig Rabbi Yehuda. Again, the Mishnah doesn't quote that Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. So Rabbi says again the same thing that we've had before. Mentioned yesterday, Kevin Damar Mar, Mashma Motzi, Miad Mashma, O Mashma Mela Polik. Since that we said that these psukim don't necessarily follow a general rule right across the board, right? Sometimes there's an implication, and sometimes the implication is not true, and sometimes the implication is true. So again, we have to say that basically the Maisa, you have to say that Rabbi Yehuda disagrees here as well, right? Even though the Mishnah did not quote it, but in Mistama, right, it makes sense that Rabbi Yehuda disagrees here as well. Okay, v'za tahor ala tamei, right? Again, you can sprinkle the one who's tahor sprinkles on the one who's tamei, right? On the third day, the seventh day, etc. Tahor miklal shu tamei, right? Meaning the one in the pasuk says v'hat tahor, right? The implication here is that he was tamei, right? Li made al tuvul yom shekosher. But part of that teaches me that someone who's a tuvul yom, if you remember, is again is someone who goes to the mikvah on the last day, and he's waiting until sundown to be totally tahor. But again, he's really tahor, and right, he's just missing Harav Shemesh with the sundown. So he's able to do the sprinkling of the paraduma right even before sundown. Right, he's able to, and again, that was the whole point of contention with the tzedukim. Right, who said that to wait until sundown, and they were again, if you remember, we mentioned that they would specifically make someone a tful yom to take to lohotzi mi liban shal tzedukim to get rid of the tzeduki opinion over here. Okay, to counteract that, fine. But lemaisa, so a tful yom. This is the source. This is the drasha that a tful yom, someone who's waiting for sundown to be completely tahor, but he's already gone to the mikvah. He's allowed. He is the tahor one, right, because it implies that he was tameh, right? So that this he is allowed to do the sprinkling. Amar Rabbi Yassi. Rabbi Yassi says, "Ki havu be'i Rabbi Yochanan v'Reish Lakish." When we were hanging out with Rabbi Yochanan v'Reish Lakish bepara, and they were learning about the paraduma, lo maski mina ela kamay demasik. Tala mi bei karva, right? They weren't able to do anything, right? They weren't able to learn anything from it. What does that mean? Demasik tala mi bei karva, right? Meaning they were only able to pick out of it what a fox brings from a field. Meaning a fox doesn't pick up any food. Mistama, right? Again, Rashi says, right? A fox just walks across the field with nothing. So again, the phrase, I'm not sure I understand the phrase entirely, but basically they weren't able to really glean anything. Not glean anything, Chas v'Shalom, that they were able to understand the halachos, but there's no recurring pattern. As we said before, there's no straight logical pattern of thought, yes, no, again, that kind of linear type halachos in the psukim, that they weren't able to figure out a straight on rule for how to learn and darshan of the psukim, and Ella Amri, and therefore, what did they say? Mashma motzi miad mashma mashma memela. Right, there are no rule. Again, you have back and forth. Right, it doesn't necessarily one pasuk doesn't necessarily follow the rules of the next pasuk. Right, could be an exclusion, could be an inclusion, etc. The implications are different. So therefore, it was more difficult for them to learn it out. Tani tama kamei Rabbi Yochanan. They taught in front of Rabbi Yochanan called Shchitos Ksheres Bizar Chutz Mishal Parah. Right, all Shchitas are okay if a non-calling does them. Right, obviously we're talking about Shchita in the Beis Hamikdash or some sort of avoda. Right, or obviously a regular person can shecht a cow right in the middle of, I don't know, Borough Park or whatever. That's fine. All the Shchitas are okay by a non-calling except for the Paraduma. Amalei Rabbi Yochanan Puk Tani Livro. Go teach that out of here. Right, get out of here. Don't go teach that outside. Don't teach that in this Beis Medrash. It's incorrect. Because Lo Matzino Shchita Bizar Psula. There's no Shchita that is possible if a non-calling does it. Rabbi Yochanan lo mi baile tana de lutzayis. And elafilu l'rabbe lutzayis. Meaning not only did Rabbi Yochanan disregard this guy, but he also disregarded his own Rebbe. Dam Rabbi Yochanan mishum Rishim ben Yotzadak shchitas para psula bizar psula. Right? Even Rabbi Yochanan's Rebbe said that a non-kohen who shechs the paraduma messes up the paraduma. But the Ani Omer, but Rabbi Yochanan himself said akshera that it's kosher. Right? Lo matzino shchita shapsula bizar, because there is no shchita that is not allowed to be done by a non-kohen. Okay, now just to finish off the last Mishnah, then we'll get to the long Mishnah that will take us to the end of the daf. We had said Barlo Itzel Paro Shnia, right? The Kohen Gadol then comes. I think I misspoke the first time. The first time I think I translated it as the second cow. That's not true. Right? It's the second time he comes back to the cow. Second time he comes back to the bull, and he does another vidui. He does the second vidui, and here he kind of adds Ani Abesi Ubnei Aaron. Right, and that's the Gemara is about to ask. Right, Maishna de vidui Rishon de Lo Amar Ubnei Aaron Am Kroshecha. Why the first video, if you noticed, the Kohen does not mention the Kohanim, the sons of Aaron, right? Right? Why does he do it by the second time? So Tana de Beit Rabbi Shmuel, Kachaya Midas Hadin, no sadness. Right? This was it made sense. It's logical. Mutav Yodo Yovo Zakai V'Chapar Alachayev V'Al Yovo Chayev V'Chapar Alachayev. It's better that someone who's already Zakai, someone who's already been successful in din in judgment and atone for someone who's still chayev, who's still guilty, who still needs to be punished, as opposed to someone who's still chayev to atone for his chayev. Meaning the Kohen first atones for himself, right? Takes care of himself, and then right, then only then does he come to ask forgiveness for his family. Right? So therefore, the first of vidui kind of focuses on himself and obviously others, but certainly himself. And then afterwards, right, he already davens for the rest of the Kohanim. Okay, fine. Now this Mishnah will take us, as you can see, pretty much to the end of today. And later we'll do the Gemara tomorrow. So Shachtu, the Gemara says, he shechts the bull, right, the ox, And Kibo b'mizrak as damo, and he takes the blood in a bowl, right? V'nasnu l'misha whom marries bo, right? He gives it to someone who's going to stir the bowl, the blood, because if it congeals, if it's puzzle, al rovid harivisha b'heichal, and he's on the fourth row out from the heichal, from the kodesh, right? We'll talk about why the fourth row of stones, right? Apparently, there were rows of stones, and he stood on the fourth. Okay, we'll talk about it. Kadesh lo yikrash, right? So that, like I said before, so the blood will not congeal, right? And that would mess it up, because as you remember, there's in between, right? There's he has to go do and bring the ketores, right? Again, that's he doesn't sprinkle it right away, right? Okay, so natal machta v'ala l'rosh ha-mizbeach, right? He takes a shovel and goes to the top of the mizbeach ha-nechosha is the one that's outside, right? And outside the big one, upana gecholam elach ve'elach, and he moves away some of the coals. Again, to do the ketores, right? So he takes, right? Remember from the second maracha, right? There was a big maracha, a big pile of wood, and then the smaller wood, pile of wood. That's what he would go up to, right? And take the coals, moves the coals out of the way. V'chota minha m'ukolos apnimios, and he takes some coals from the inner most coals inside the fire, because the goal here is that, as we'll explain, that the coals need to be glowing, right? But without fire. So basically. So he had to take like the coals that are inside that were still kind of like hot and burning, but not the ones that, let's say, necessarily were causing the fire on top. So he took the inner coals, v'yoret, right, again, to prepare the ketores, v'yoret, then he went down the ramp, v'inicha al harovet harvi shebazara, and again, he put the shovel, right, on the fourth row of stones, again, in the azara. We'll talk about that, play another, I think, tomorrow. Every day, the Kohen, again, when we the normal, regular Ketores Avoda, the Kohen would take a shovel of silver and pour them into a shovel of gold. But today, right, we didn't do it. The Kohen Gadol doesn't do any pouring. Right, he just the gold, the shovel that he takes is made out of gold straight up. He doesn't pour it into a subsequent gold one. The Gemara is going to note again that b'chol yom chota b'shel arba kabin, every day the Kohen would take four kav of coals as a measurement, right? B'mara v'toch shlosha kabin, and he pour it into a shovel that was for three kav. Again, that was that's the amount of the, really the three coal, the kav was the amount that he needed on a regular day of Ketores. That's how much coals he would take. The reason he started with a bigger one, obviously, is to make sure he got the full shear, right? If you start with one that's three and you're missing a little bit, so then you're toast. And so he started with a shovel that was four kav of coals. He poured it into a normally he would pour it into a shovel of three kav. Hayom, but on Yom Kippur, chote b'shlosh kavin ubahe amachnis, and he would just start. You forget the pouring, right? He would just take the regular coal, the shovel of three kav, and just use that. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Rabbi Yossi says, b'chol yom chote b'shal saw. Every day, the Kohen would actually scoop up a saw's, which is six kav of coals. Umara b'toch shlosh kavin, pour that into the three kav. But hayom chote b'shlosh kavin, right? Ubahe amachnis, right again. But he agrees that today on Yom Kippur, right, he would only do one. He wouldn't pour it. He would only do one shoveling. Right? Every day, the shovel was, you know, proper, heavy, solid gold or silver. But today, right on Yom Kippur, it was lighter. Right? As you'll see again, the whole idea here is that we should make it easier for the Kohen Gadol who's fasting to do all the avoda. So every day it was heavy. Today it was lighter. Every day it was a short handle, but today it was longer, so it was easier, it was more balanced, easier for him to carry. Every day it was regular, yarok is green gold, but mistama means regular yellow gold. And today it was red. Again, apparently red was more valuable gold. Okay, I'm not sure exactly, not familiar. I don't know the difference between different golds, but mistama, the green gold or the yellow gold was less valuable than the red gold. Every day there was a pras of ketores, of the incense, right? That was between the morning and the afternoon. But today there was also the melochofnav, a handful, really two handfuls of Ketores that would go instead of Lufnai Lufnim, right? The two, the press of Ketores would go on the Mizbech Azov in the morning and in the afternoon. But today, right, you had also the Ketores that went inside to the Kodesh Kodashim on the Aron. Inside. And so that was also, that was the extra that he did today on Yom Kippur. B'chol Yom Ha'isah Daka, every day the incense was ground, right, very finely. V'ayom Daka min Adaka, but today it was even ground, even better. B'chol Yom Kohanim Olim B'mishrachu Shal Kevesh V'yordin B'maravo, every day the Kohanim would go up on the ramp of the Mizbeach outside, right, the outer Mizbeach, right, they would go up to the east and they go down the west. Today the coin goes up in the middle, goes down in the middle. The coin Gadol always did that. Every day the coin Gadol would use the kior, would use to wash his hands and feet, but today he used a special golden pitcher. And Rabbi Yehuda says that the olam kohen gadol mekadesh yadav v'ragalav min hakiton shel zav, right? The kohen gadol always used this golden pitcher to wash his hands and feet. V'chol yom ha'yasham arba marachos, every day there were four piles on the mizbech, and there's going to be a mizmachokus about this, and we'll talk about it b'nether in the Gemara exactly what's going on over here. Vayom chamesh banan Yom Kippur, there were five. The Rabbi Meir, that was Rabbi Meir's sheet. Rabbi Yosi, Omer, Rabbi Yosi says no, three and four. B'chol yom shalosh v'hayom arba, every day there was three, and today on Yom Kippur there was four. And Rabbi Yehuda says no, Rabbi Yehuda Omer b'chol yom shtayim v'hayom shalosh, and every day there was two, and on Yom Kippur there was three. Again, the Gemara will fly through this. I'm not sure if it's tomorrow or the next day, but we'll definitely explain what's going on with all these numbers, right? I thought there was only two marachos, right? Again, okay, we talked about the two marachos, but we'll be another get to that. Have a great day or night, depending on where you're listening to this.